man. Man. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Sister Motes. Appreciate that good talk. I want to ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you once again. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with me in the lesson this morning, I'll ask you to turn to the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and I want to begin reading with verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning with verse 12. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now are ye the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. And that's reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through verse 31, the end of the chapter. And I want to use as a title this morning, One Body, Many Members. I want to say that I appreciate the things that Brother Wheat has already said about the church. If you were privileged to be here this morning and hear the Sunday school lesson, Brother Wheat had some good comments about the Lord's church. And I agree with what he said, that the church certainly is the greatest institution on the earth. Now, I know that you have heard me say this in times past. I'm going to repeat myself. There are those, and I have known those in my life that have believed and have told me, thank God I haven't known many that have believed this, but I have had some tell me that they had no need to be a part of it. They felt like they could worship the Lord and honor the Lord in their lives outside of the church as well as they could in it. And I've never believed that, and I don't believe it today. And, you know, I have but to look at one verse of Scripture, really, though I believe there are many, but I have to look at but one verse of Scripture, and that's Ephesians 3 and 21, where Paul said, "Unto him, that being God, be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And from the very time that the Lord established the church, not only was it the institution that he commissioned and sent out into the world to take the gospel to people, but it was also the institution from that point on that would give him glory as long as the church is here in the world. And so the church is of extreme importance. And everyone that has been saved is under express commandment from the Lord to be part of her. Everyone. The Lord intends for everyone that he saves to receive scriptural baptism and become a part of his church. Everyone is under that commandment. In fact, for a child of God, for one that has been saved and has been privileged to become a child of God, until that person unites with the church and receives scriptural baptism, they are living in direct violation of God's commandments. And their lives, I promise you, their lives will never please him until they get that straightened out. Thankful to be a part not only of the family of God, but of part of the Lord's church. Now, Paul in this writing, which is a very, very interesting a scriptural account that he wrote here, because he tells us many factors about the church. And I want to tell you some things today that I believe and that I don't believe. And I want to say this in the beginning, that, you know, I believe it's very possible today that you may not agree with everything that I say. In fact, it's probably safe to assume that very few sermons that any preacher preaches does everybody agree with everything that they say. And I want to ask you this, that with whatever I preach, I don't want you to feel forced to believe it. I want you to study it for yourself. And I want you to study this for yourself. Paul here compared the church body to the human body. Now, I mentioned that my title today would be "One Body, Many Members." And that one body is the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. The Lord's church is the body of Christ, not his physical body, because his physical body ascended back to heaven. But we are the mystical body of the Lord Jesus Christ on the earth. And in order to show us the importance of each and every member, and I want to interject this here, that if you are a member of the church here at Fairview Memorial, or as far as that goes, if you are a member of any of the Lord's churches here in this world, I hope and pray that you will never feel that God has no part for you, because he does. God has something for everybody to do. And I hope and pray that nobody will ever believe that they are insignificant in the body, because we all have a place. And that's what Paul went about to teach us here and to show us here. Now, before I begin talking about his comparison to the human body, I want to say that when Paul wrote and used the term one body, I believe that he was writing to and speaking to the church at Corinth. He was addressing them as one body. And also, and this is something else, and I appreciate this being pointed out in the Sunday school lesson today. However, the scriptures apply to us as well in our day. And so the church at Corinth was one body. The church at Ephesus was one body. The church at Smyrna was one body. The church at Thyatira was one body. The church that makes up Fairview Memorial is one body. I do not believe in the light of Scripture, and I have done the best that I could, I believe, through the years to try to study this. But in the light of the Scripture, I do not embrace the teaching that is in our world today that the church is made up and is a fellowship of everybody that's been saved all across the world. I just don't believe it. I believe that the church is absolutely a local body. That seems to be well proven in the scriptures. We read about the church at Corinth. We read about the church at Ephesus, and so on and so forth. And so we here today, members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church, are one body in Christ. We are the Lord's church. The universal, the theory of the universal church, you know what? There are many today in the world that believe it. In fact, I want to tell you something. You will find among the various religious denominations in the world today, this has been my experience, you will find many that along the way that seem to agree with the idea of the saints being eternally secure. You may encounter many that will agree with you that the only proper scriptural mode of baptism is immersion. You may find many that will agree with you among other denominations that you truly do need to be born again to be a child of God. But you know, when it comes to the church being a local body, I've never found very many people at all outside of our missionary Baptist churches that believe it. Most of the, in the religious realm today around us, most people seem to have adopted the view of a universal church, that the church is a body that is made up of all the believers from Pentecost down to this present time, regardless of their difference of beliefs. And I just don't believe the Bible supports it. I believe the church is a local, visible body of baptized believers for the maintenance of the ordinances and the spread of the gospel, just like our article of faith says. That's what I believe. That's what I believe the Bible teaches. And so we are here at this church. We are one body in Christ. Now, I want to get back to the Paul's comparison to the body. And we know that the way that our body is today is by God's design, because the Lord made the human body. God took dust from the ground And he formed Adam, the first man, and he made his body the way that he wanted it to be. And I want you to think about this thought with me for a moment, that when it comes to making the body from the dust, God put the head at the top of the body. We have our feet, the lower extremity of the body, our feet that we stand on, but God took our head when he made us and he put it at the top of the body. Now, can you imagine trying to function another way? I thought about some things and they seem a little bit silly, but I think they make the point. Could you imagine going out and getting in your car and trying to put your head down at your accelerator and your feet up over the seat and trying to operate your car that way? God didn't form us to function that way. When I was younger, and the Lord knows I can't do it now, but when I was younger, I used to be able to do a handstand and walk on my hands. Maybe some of you here today, if you're not gymnastically challenged like I am, some of you here today might be able to do that. Some of you younger people might be able to stand on your hands and walk on your hands, but you sure wouldn't want to go through your day that way, would you? With your head upside down and your feet up in the air, you just wouldn't be able to function that way, and that's not the way that God designed our body. And when it comes to the mystical body, there is a head, and that head is Christ. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And unless he is kept at the top, unless he is always exalted, unless we keep the Lord Jesus Christ ever before us, friends, listen, whenever we tried to put him down at the bottom of the ladder somewhere, the church is not going to properly function. The Lord Jesus Christ has to always be exalted among us. And we need to remember that he is the head of the body. Now, if you cut the head off of your natural body, I promise you that it won't function. I have not seen anybody yet walking around in this world without a head. Our brain is there, controls all of the central nervous system. The brain is basically the computer of our body that tells everything what to do. Without it, we wouldn't have a clue what to do. Without the head, the body would not know how to function. And so if the head is severed from the body, listen, when they beheaded the Apostle Paul, he ceased to live. His body ceased to live. And we're nothing without our head. We're nothing without Christ. He is the head of the body. And God help us that he will always be viewed as that. I want to talk about in verse 18. I want to read this again. It says, "But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him." Now, Brother Wheat mentioned again this morning the verse there from Isaiah chapter 40, speaking about the Lord, and it says, "With whom did he take counsel?" You know, when God does things, he doesn't come to us for advice. He doesn't come to us for counsel. He doesn't ask us how to do things. He doesn't need instruction from us of how to operate. And when God designed the human body, he did not come, he did not ask anybody how to do that. God put the human body together the way that he wanted it to be. He put the head where he wanted it. He put the arms where he wanted them. He put the hands where he wanted them. He placed the feet where he wanted them. He placed the legs. God designed the human body to be exactly what he wanted it to be, and he did the same thing with the church. God designed the church. God put the church together. God made it to be what he wanted it to be. God set the offices in the church that he wanted in the church. God set the ordinances in the church that he wanted in the church. And it's our job to observe them rather than change them. We have no right to change what the Lord has done. God said baptism, and it's well taught in the scriptures, even by the very meaning of the word, that baptism is the total immersion in water, and we have no right to change it to sprinkling. None. God designed the church to be what he wanted it to be. And I'll tell you what, I believe for each local body, what Paul said here in verse 18 in his writing to Corinth, for each local body, this holds true. God hath set the members in the body as it pleased him. You know, today, and friends, I want you to know something, that I believe very strongly in the Holy Spirit guiding and directing our lives. And if we were to go around today among the members of Fairview Memorial Missionary Baptist Church that are here today, and if we begin to ask the question of each one of us, why are you a member of this body? It should never be, my brother and his family were members there, so that's where we decided to go. Or I'm a member of that church because at the time I joined, I liked the pastor that they had. Or I'm a member of that church because I like what they do with the youth. They've got good youth groups, and so that's why I joined the church. Or I am a member of that church because it's conveniently located to my house. Listen, friends, none of those things should ever be the reason. We ought to all have the same answer to that question. I am a member there because I know that's where God placed me. To me, that's of utmost importance. God sets the members in the body. And I'm going to tell you something else, and you may or may not agree with this, but as I said earlier, I would ask you to just study it and consider it. I believe that when God places a member in the body, that person should stay there and remain a member of that body until God leads them out of that body, unless God separates them from that body and takes them someplace else. They ought to remain true to their church and remain a member of the body where God has placed them. There's been far too much among our churches of people running off because they got their feathers ruffled, or because they decided there was something they did not like. And they, you know, you ought to be true to your church. If God has placed you there, I've heard all sorts of things in my life. I know you no doubt have heard all sorts of things in your life. So-and-so left the church, and after they left, I just didn't, we were such good friends, and I just didn't feel like I wanted to be there anymore either. So I took off, and I just went where they went. Or, you know, maybe the preacher, he preached something that I didn't like, and so I'm not going to put up with that. I'm just going to take off and go somewhere else. Or I don't like it. We don't have enough activity for our youth, or maybe the church isn't using me enough. Listen, friends, these things may seem like good reasons to you, but I promise you that God won't accept them. He won't accept them. When God puts us in, that's where He expects us to be until God removes us, until the Lord takes us out, because it is the church designed the way that He wants it to be. I'm going to ask you something today, let me take this a little bit further. Well, my church began to do things. My church began to practice things that I didn't believe were scriptural, and so I left. I want you to think about that. And you may say, well, you mean you believe we ought to stay where things are not right, where I don't believe the things are right? Well, that's exactly what I'm saying. Until God tells you to go, that church may need you. You may be the one to help them. And I want to ask you something today. It's almost Christmas time. If the Lord allows just a few weeks to continue here, it'll soon be Christmas. And we've got soldiers that are away from their families, and they're fighting for their country, and many of them are in a hostile environment, and their lives are in danger. And they're there in our defense. They're there in defense of our great country, and they're trying to protect our freedoms and uphold the things that we believe. And listen, do you suppose that if you went there and interviewed those soldiers, do you believe that every one of them agrees with everything that the government of our country is doing? No. I promise you that you would find things that they would disagree with, things that they would not think are right, things that they believe the president did that's not right. I promise you that not every one of them would agree with everything that's going on, but yet they're there, they're hanging tough, they're hanging in there, and they're fighting, and they're trying to protect this country. Is it a perfect country? No, because it's made up of imperfect people. Is there such a thing as a perfect church? No, because it's made up of imperfect people. Sometimes at the very, the very mention even of a church doing something that people don't think is right, and off they go. If you love your church, fight for it. Do what you can to make things right. Listen, if anything in your church ever gets to the point and ever gets bad enough from a doctrinal viewpoint or whatever, if anything ever reaches the point that God does not want you associated with it, He can lead you out of that just as He can lead you out for any other purpose. The church at Corinth, the particular church that we've read about today, had a lot of problems. There were a lot of things. The church at Corinth was doing some horrible things with the observance of the Lord's Supper, a very sacred ordinance, the very ordinance that the Lord left for the church to remember Him by. And they were doing some very unscriptural things in their observance of the Lord's Supper. But the Apostle Paul tried to help them through his epistles, and I don't find anywhere where he ever told them to abandon. I don't see where he ever wrote to any of the members and said, look at what they're doing, you better get away, you better abandon that. No, he tried to help them. Sometimes I'm afraid that we're far too hasty. You may agree or disagree, but I think sometimes we've been far too hasty to break fellowship with other churches just because they made a mistake. We need to prayerfully consider things like that. when they come before us and look to God for leadership and be sure that we do the things that God would have us to do, because we are never, as long as the church exists here in this world, you'll never find one local body that is without fault. You'll never, if you're looking for the perfect church in this world, you're searching in vain, because you're not going to find it. Every church will make mistakes along the way. But I believe, I believe wholeheartedly in being a member of the church where God places you. And when God places you there, I believe in supporting that church. I believe in pledging allegiance to that church. And listen, friends, your church ought to be of the utmost importance to you. I think I may have told you this before. I was out one time in a public setting, and I didn't even, you know, I wasn't eavesdropping. You didn't have to. These two men were talking so loud that you could have heard them across the other side of the room, and they were talking about their church, and they were saying this and that, just one derogatory statement after another about their church. And I'll tell you what, if I would have been looking for a church, their church would have been the last one that I would have been interested in going to after they finished their conversation. We ought to love our church. What a great privilege it is to be a part of a local body that's been set up. And Brother Wheat, God bless your heart, I agree with you. I believe the design that was set up there in Jerusalem has continued. You know what? If we went back through the years somehow, if we could go back through the years and compare our church to the church at Jerusalem and churches in times past, we'd find some differences. We'd find some differences in the way that we worship. We'd find differences in the hymns that we sing. We'd find differences in the order of service. But I'll guarantee you that we would find essential doctrines that would bind us together to the point that we would have an awesome fellowship with those churches throughout the years. The things that really matter, the key elements that the Lord left in the church. Friends, I believe that they have continued down to this day. And when the Lord splits the eastern sky one of these days and comes back and gathers His churches together, He's going to find things among them that are very similar to that church that He Himself established there in the city of Jerusalem during His own ministry. He's going to find churches believing and practicing the same essential principles that were there that He set up. I'm convinced of that with all my heart. The Lord will find faith on the earth when He comes. Well, Paul was writing here, and he was telling the church at Corinth that we've all got a part, and we do. You know what? He talked about the weaker members, the more feeble members. He talked about the less honorable members. Let me tell you something. There may be somebody that attends your church. People may look at them and they may say, well, I never hear that person testify over once or twice in the course of a whole year. They just don't seem to be doing much. You know what? God bless the person that is patient enough in the Lord to just sit there until the Lord moves on them. If that's what God does with you, If God moves upon your heart once or twice through the course of a year to testify of His goodness, then just let God have His way with you and don't worry about what people think. You know, we spend too much time worrying about what we think of each other and too little time worrying about what God thinks about us. Friends, we, every member of this church, ought to be striving to please God and not please one another. Because it's true, you can please all the people some of the time and some of the people all the time, but you cannot please all the people all the time. You can't do it. But we, in fact, Paul, the Apostle Paul, believed that to the point that he said, if I seek to please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We ought to seek to please the Lord in the things that we do, and don't worry about what everybody else thinks. Do what God has you to do. Let me tell you something. If you come... Well, let me go a little bit further here. You all going to have to be patient with me today. I've got to do what the Lord would have me to do. Paul went on and he spoke about how that the hand couldn't say, or the eye couldn't say to the hand, I don't need you. You know, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? God has designed this thing to where everything functions, and we can't say that we don't have need one of another. Paul went on and he began to tell them that God set apostles in the church. God set prophets in the church. Now you're going to find some offices here in the early church and some gifts in the early church that no longer exist among us, but nevertheless, the teaching is the same. God set these things in the church. The apostles, the prophets, the miracles, those that had gifts of healings, and we don't have those spiritual gifts among us anymore, but we do have the same principle among us, that God chooses us to be what He wants us to be, and He tempers us into the body in that way. And Paul said, are all apostles, are all prophets, do all have the gifts of miracles? No, we don't all have the same gifts. But Paul said, covet earnestly the best gifts, and I show unto you a more excellent way. And I wanted to make that point today, because the more excellent way that Paul was talking about was the way of love. The way of love. Paul led them through this into his discourse to them concerning love. And I want to tell you something. If you attend your church, and everybody should do that, that's another express commandment, that we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. If you attend the services of your church, and God may move upon your heart every once in a while to testify for Him, you attend your church and you give to your church, you do the things that you know that God would be pleased with, and you show love in your heart, and love is what prompts you, you're doing God service. You're doing Him service. It's when we refuse to do what He tells us that we dishonor Him. It's not when we decide that we just need to do more, and so we begin to do more. Listen, friends, if God doesn't move upon your heart to talk, then you don't need to talk. God knows how to put together a service. And we don't need to come together, and we don't need to just think, you know, I love those services. services that we have. I've just feasted on the services that we've had lately where we come together. And I mean, you can just feel the Spirit of God begin to move among us, and people begin to stand up and testify. And when they begin to talk, you can just feel the presence of the Lord in their talks. That's how it ought to be. Holy Spirit led, prompted services are what we need. God will make himself known in those things. And God knows how to put together a service. Let me assure you, God knows how to orchestrate the service far better than what you and I have in mind. I love my church. I've never belonged to a church. And I don't mean this boastingly. I don't mean it that way at all. I just mean it sincerely and honestly. I've never belonged to a church without loving it. I'd rather hear somebody go out and badmouth anything more than the Lord and their church. The church has been more important to me in my life than any job I've ever had. It's been more important to me than any position I've ever held. Sometimes people take off and leave their church behind to go out and do this or do that, and don't even ask the Lord about it. Shouldn't be that way, should it? We ought to have an allegiance to our church that goes way above the allegiance that we have to anything else in this world. And God bless those who are faithful to their church. I'm done. Said what I needed to say. Thank God for the church. Thank God for those local bodies across this land and country and this world that have upheld the truth. Let's hang on. No matter what comes up against us. You know, some of our churches faltered, didn't they? Sadly enough, they faltered. Places where the truth was once upheld and people were saved. They're teaching people now that all they've got to do is make a mental decision and accept Christ. And, you know, that's, to me, that's a horrible legacy to leave behind, that the truth once sounded out from that place and now it doesn't. We've got to hang on. We've got to hold on to the truth and be the church that God would have us to be, not what anybody else expects. That's what every church body ought to strive for, to be what God would have us to be. And I'll tell you one thing, I promise you this much, any church that departs the truth, God won't stay. He won't stay. They reach the point where they just leave behind the truth. It won't be long unless they listen to God's reproof. It won't be long till he'll leave them behind. And I think that's proven to us in the scriptures. I thank you for your attention today. You know, it's always been amazing to me, and I've said this before, and I believe it's true. People that are working at a certain place for their retirement, maybe they've got 15 or 20 years invested there and they're working towards retirement. They can bring in a new supervisor and that person can hate working for him, but they'll stay. They'll stay because they know they're building towards his benefit. They'll hang in there and they'll stay. They can hate every new policy that their company puts in. They can just hate the new policy. They can hate the changes that are made in the health insurance. Just hate this and hate that. But they'll keep working there to get that retirement. But it seems that with many, the least little thing that happens in their church, and they're gone. They're gone. Shouldn't be that way. God bless you. I appreciate your attention today. You may have something on your heart that you'd like to say. I appreciate you listening. Anyone at all have a word today?